Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, my listeners. This is Pastor Ola Starling with Anointed Words Ministries. I am so blessed to be here tonight because it is a great day. It's a great night. It's a great time to know, praise God, and to be, praise God, in the presence of the Lord. I am so blessed tonight, praise God, to know, praise God, that God, praise God, has chosen me, praise God, to be one of his mouthpieces. And I'm just blessed. I'm just blessed because I realize there is nothing, praise God, more important than being in connections and tuned in with the Lord himself. And tonight, praise God, we're going to move on. We don't want to waste time. We just want to move on through the word, praise God, and pray that those of you that are listening be blessed from the word tonight. And know, praise God, that the Lord loves you wherever you are. He loves you just how you are, but he wants, praise God, he wants you to have that close relationship with him. He's crying out to you, want that relationship. He yearns, and he yearns for that relationship that be connected to him. The branch and the vine connects together. This is what he wants. He wants that, praise God. He just wants us to be close, close, a close relationship, that we may know him and that he may know us. Hallelujah. But tonight we're going to talk about the power and the form. The power and the form. For we know, praise God, the word of God said many, praise God, have a form of godliness, but they are denying the power thereof. From such turn away. In 2 Timothy, praise God, 3 and 5. Those that act like they of God, want to pray like they of God, go away. Get away from them. Get away from them. Because God said they got a form. A form means you act like you have it, but you don't. You act like you want it, but you don't. Praise God. So Timothy was saying to us, and he was writing to his beloved son. He was writing to his beloved son. Timothy and Paul in this epistle tells them that in the last days there will be perilous times. Perilous times shall come. But they should, praise God. But why should the last days be so particularly perilous, he says. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, blasphemers, proud, blasphemers, boasters, disobedient to parents, unfaithful, unreal. And so on. But where men not always, where men not always thus? Was there ever a time known when men were not lovers of themselves? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers? The root of them, the root of evil is so deeply seated in the falling of man that these fruits must not do and must not continuously appear. Then why then should the apostles point out the last days as so particular and perilous? That is so particular and perilous. Why should they print that out? Because for real, today, everybody's in love with themselves. They like the way they look. They're making changes. They're moving parts and replacing parts. Men always were as he described them here. The reason is having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. It was that which made the last days perilous, because men would no longer be such as he described them in this black camouflage. Openly and profanely as before, but would be covered over by the mask of profession. See, many people, praise God, today they wear masks. We're not talking about the mask for the virus. We're talking about the mask because they're not real. They have a form. They act like they're real. They act like they're of God. They talk like they're of God. They dress like they're of God, but they are not. They're not. It was that which made them perilous, that is dangerous to the people of God, lest they should be what? Ensnared and deceived thereby. I share with God's blessing from the sake of communicating my thoughts and feeling on these words more clearly and intelligently about five of these leading divisions of this subject. God alone, praise God. I well know and I will know and can give the blessings I shall endure to show what godliness is, what the power of godliness is, what the form is. You got so many, praise God, not acting as if they are God, talking as if they are God, but they live two different lives. In the daytime, they live one life, and at nighttime, they live another life. Why is it to deny the power, the exhortation from such, he says, turn away. They're dangerous. That's why the Bible said, know them that labor among you. Know them. What godliness is. Godliness in the scripture of the New Testament seems, praise God, to have two distinct meanings. But sometimes it means the whole works of grace upon the heart, all the makings and the manifestation of man to be a child of God in the word, that which we call experimental religious, with all the fruits accompanying it. For instance, godliness with its contentment is great gain. 1 Titus 6:6. Godliness is profane unto all things, having promises of the life that now is and of that is which to come. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy 4:8, it exercises yourself rather unto godliness. 1 Timothy 4:7, according to as the divining power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3, yes, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. This is why the people don't want to live godly, because they don't want to go through persecutions. But why not go through persecution for God? Your pay will be great. But these are other passages, praise God, in which the world godliness seems to have a more limited meaning. For instance, where the apostle exhorts Timothy to pursue after certain Christian graces, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. 1 Timothy, praise God, 6:11. Their godliness does not signify the whole of this experimental religion, but one particular branch of it, namely devoutness to the heart, to the Lord. So also we find the Apostle Peter saying, give all diligence, add to your faith your virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience, praise God, patience, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. 2 Peter 1:5-7, godliness is here, spoken of in a distance, and in a very distinct from the heart, using in this sense. I understand it is to signify that devoutness, signify the devoutness, praise God. Yes, devoutness of the heart to the Lord, which is to affect offer divine teaching in the soul. It may be asked then, in what sense do you understand the term godliness in this message? I answer that by, if I understand the wholeness of the spirit work upon the soul, the teaching of God in the heart, all that is gently conveyed by what? Expression, experimental religion, with all the fruits and the consequences which follow, which flows out of that divine work. Thus, godliness, in a sense, has a very comprehensive signification. It embraces, praise God, the whole experiment of religion. It includes the whole works of grace from first to last, from the first teaching of the Spirit in the heart of the babe up to the last hallelujah of the expressing, praise God, and the expiring of the saints. And not only so, comprehends all the external fruits and manifestation of the works of grace upon the soul. That is being, praise God, that in sense and godliness has a very extensive signification. Signification, and therefore, many spiritual branches will be found to grow out from the deep and the broadened stem. First of all, praise God, we want to talk about godliness. Therefore, we'll comprehend in the first place that divine work which is called in the scripture repentance. Hey, God, were the chief features of Paul's ministry. He tells us he preached repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 20:21, these are the two leading points that he dwelt upon. He says, wheresoever there is godliness in a man's heart, in other words, wherever there is a work of grace in the soul, there must be repentance. What is repentance? The conviction of sin produced by the operation of the Spirit upon the consciousness and the piercing and the penetrating the soul with the guilt of transgression and the creating self-loftiness and self-abhorrence on account of manifestation of the evil of the heart, the lips, and the lives. Sin at the footstool of mercy, a broken heart and a contrite spirit, a truly penetrated soul melted and dissolved and laid low in tears of godly sorrow at the feet of Christ, will ever accomplish the repentance unto life, which is the gift of Jesus. But again, we see, we pretend to know it and have it, but we don't. We don't even want to repent. Repentance is something people don't even talk about, discuss, or preach anymore. Hey, God. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Again, your godliness comprehends the whole work of grace upon the heart. It must also include faith in Christ, which brings faith in Christ. It is the gift of God, as we read, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not the work, lest that any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9, but when we do, we begin to believe in Christ. When there is first any real faith in our heart towards his precious name, when there is some spiritual revelation of him to the soul, where then is some divine discovery of this person, his blood, his righteousness, his love, his grace, his glory? When these are brought, praise God, with a divine testimony by the spiritual heavenly function unto the heart, then faith springs up. No sooner does Jesus show his lovely face and unfold himself to the soul that faith springs up to receive, lay hold of, and embrace him, and bring him unto the heart of his atoning blood, dying love, hey God, you El Shabbat, and his justifying grace. But there must be a love to the brethren. It is also another future of godliness. For by this we know that we have passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. We love the brethren. First John, 3:14. If there be faith in Christ, there must be love to Christ. One cannot exist without the other. And if there be love to him who begot, there must to those that are begotten of him. Hey, God. And then, praise God, we have seen Christ by the eyes of faith. And that sight has drawn forth the affliction of our hearts towards him. We must love his image wherever seen, and love, the pure love, must need flow forth, must need flow forth out of our, praise God, hearts toward that image. Forever outward circumstances may differ, or whatever that may be what unpleasurable, unpleasing, unlovely to the natural eye. We love Christ, though. We see him, brethren, a beggar rags. The future, praise God, of Christ, of every lovely to those who know Christ. However, defaced and degraded, they may be in the eyes of the world. And praise God, we cannot but love them. Wherever we see them, visibly, manifestation in the heart and the life of those who are his. If godly symptoms signify the spiritual work upon the soul, it must also accomplish and comprehend the spirit of prayer, which is the main branch of the divine teaching. That worshiping up, therefore, of God in the spirit and in truth, that flowing forth of desire, of that desire in the bosom, that we wrestle with him at the footstool with mercy, that pleading with him that we would be gracious, that longing, that languishing, that hungering, that thirsting, that brethren, all praise God, the soul after his blessing. Presence and the manifestation power which springs up from the secret operation, praise God, of the spirit upon the heart, all are part of that godliness which is profitable unto all things. Hallelujah. It must also be comprehended that the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, for it is godliness, means the whole of the spirit works upon the heart. Hey God, it will embrace the beginning as well as the ending. It will include, it is capable, and it arms all the quickening family of God. And therefore, my friend, it must need comprehension for the first teaching of the Spirit in the rising up of godly fear, in the making of the conscience alive and tender, praise God, and impressing upon the soul of a godly reverence of Jehovah, holy name, and stamping upon the heart a sense of his dread perfection and dreading. Praise God. It also, praise God, comprehends all that springs out of the spirit works upon the soul, self-denial, mortification of sin, crucifixion of the flesh, separating from the world, deadness to the things of time and sense, a life of devotedness to the Son of God. It will further comprehend the fruit of the Spirit, working upon the heart, such as a kindness, liberation to the brethren, an open heart and open hand. Walk and praise God consistently and becomingly with our profession, avoiding the very presence of evil, giving no room to the adversary to bring a reproach upon the cause through us. But living in the presence of the Lord, and with the sense of his eyes being continuously upon us. He has an all-seeing eye. He sees everything. In a word, as godliness embraces the whole of the Spirit's work upon the heart, teaching, praise God, and quickening until the soul finally departs in peace. Praise God. When the soul departs in peace, with all the fruits and the graces which flows out of it, it must need be a more comprehensive expression. Power of godliness is. What is it? But we must observe this message and speaking of the godliness of the power of godliness. Godliness and the power of it. Then are two distinctive things. For instance, the Lord has in mercy quickened our souls and made Christ the precious to our heart. In mercy done that for you, which will save you with an everlasting salvation. But are you always, are you often under the power of the godliness? Must we not confess? If we could speak honestly, that the reason and the occasion when the power is felt in our heart is a comprehensively very rare. If God has indeed implanted the blessed spirit in our heart, if our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, God, if Jesus dwells in you and dwells in you, the hope of glory, you are never destitute of godliness, but you are often destituted of the power of godliness. Praise God. For instance, let's say, you are not often destituted of the power to repent and confess your sin before God. Does not conscience often bring to view a melancholy retrospect of carnal thoughts, wicked desires, vain imitation, foolish words, frivolous speaking, and all that camouflage of evil? That huge bill which godly fear sometimes filed in the courts within, as seen in all of our departments from the life of God. But you are you able to repent? Are you able to feel cut to every heart? Are you able to mourn and sight because of consciousness bring against you this long indictment? Hallelujah. Can you always feel your soul melting down with sorrow on account of it? Are you always able to feel contrary? Because you are proud, worldly, covetousness? Are you? Everything, praise God, that is evil, everything that is hateful in God's sight. But then, there are times, praise God, and seasons when the Lord is pleased to work upon the consciousness, to move and to stir the soul, to touch the heart with his gracious fingers. Then repentance and godly sorrow flows forth. Yeah, God, it is within us. We must rock that Moses stuck, the same rock that Moses struck. There are some water in the rocks, but it requires to be stuck with the rod between the water. Hallelujah. Flowing out. So we may have the grace of repentance. We may have the grace of repentance in our soul, but it requires the divine hand to strike the rock, to call the water of godly sorrow to gush from. So with respect to faith in Jesus, if the Lord has ever blessed you and me with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we never cease to believe in him. But there is often an apparent superstition of that faith. And praise God, it is need that the same almighty power which first created it to draw it from into the living act and the exercise. He that possesses faith possesses godliness, but it is only as faith is drawn out to look to and to live upon the Lord Jesus Christ that we have the power of godliness. Yay, God, hallelujah. But again I say, if ever you have loved Jesus with a pure affection, if ever you have felt him near, dear, and precious to your soul, that love can never be lost out of your heart. It may lie dormant. It doesn't lie dormant. It may not be sweetly felt in exercise, but there it is. If any man love not the love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be an antonym. You would be under his curse if the love of the Lord Jesus Christ were to die out of your heart. But this love is often sleeping when the mother sometimes watches over the cradle. It often sleeps when the mother watches over the cradle. And look upon her sleeping baby with unutterance of affection. The infant knows that the mother is watching its slumber. But when it awakes, it is able to feel and return its mother's tenderness. It is so with the soul sometimes. And the love in the heart is like a baby slumbering in a cradle. But the baby opens its eyes and sees its mother smiling upon it. It returns the smile and stretches forth its arms to embrace the bending cheek. So when we see the face of Jesus stooping to impress a kiss of love, I'll drop some sweet words, hey, yeah, 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 into the heart. There is a flowing forth towards him of love and affection. This is the power of the love of Christ. It is the power of the love of Christ. When we can recognize the affection and know the godliness of God's love, there is nothing, praise God, that we would be without. There would be no more need for the form of godliness, because the godliness is in the love of God. We won't have to pretend like we have it and don't. We won't have to act like we have it and don't. The love of God in this godliness. He loves us. He watches over us that his works may be performed. No. You no longer have to live in the form of godliness. I cannot get it when you don't. When you can get it because he's offering it to you. Hallelujah. He's standing with outstretched arms saying, come, I want to give you all you need. I want to give it to you. I want you to have this. Godly love. He wants to give it to us. To move the carnal mind and place it with highly favor of God. He wants to speak to the soul of man. You no longer have to be, praise God, have the form. You can have it all. You can have it for real. Hallelujah. You can have the love of God. No longer the form, but denying the power. So it is with prayer. Real prayer is not at your command. But I cannot. God forbid that I should cease to bend no knees before the throne of the divine majestic. But command the spirit and the heavenly desires. Can I create feelings of longing and lusting after his manifestation presence? Can I produce a mind fixed upon eternal things? I can command the faith that is in Jesus, whereby alone I can boldly approach him. You no longer have to act like you got it, because God knows whether you have it or not. You don't have to dress like you got it. You can have it. Because God worked from the inside to the outside. Hallelujah. Hey, God. He can open a door of utterance to express his desires. I'll raise you up so sure, confident that the Lord will fulfill them with his godliness. in the Holy Ghost. No longer do you need to pretend like you have it or you know God. God looking for real people, real spirit people, real people. You ought to look like you saved. You want to act like you saved. And you live in a double life. God is calling true utterance of holiness. Either you have it or you don't. But you're denying the power thereof because you have a form of godliness. A form. But you don't have it. Seek the Lord that you may become real with him. You ain't got to do nothing for man. You don't have to impress man. Who is man that you need to impress them? Your praise God expectation is to satisfy God with true utterance, with true praise God. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. God is calling for true power. He's not calling for form. You got a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Clean with God. God, I don't have it like you say. I don't have it like I say and show others I have. God, give it to me the real way. God will remove the phoniness, the unassurance, the unreal, and he will manifest his spirit in your life. God will open the door to utterance, to express your desires to him. You may be able to put on the whole armor of God. You'll be able to put on the whole armor of God and withstand the fiery darts of the devil. Stop denying the power. Stop denying the power thereof. The anointing is what breaks the yokes. Hallelujah. The anointing. The anointing is what breaks yokes. He's saying to you, come to me just as you are. And I'll in no wise cast you out. And all that you are short of in need, I will supply. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for tonight. I bless your word. I bless your name. Father God, let this word go forth and that they may understand and hear the word of God and be blessed in their spirit, that they may turn from wickedness unto righteousness. In your holy name, I ask it to be so. And this is Pastor Ola Starling with the Anointed Word Ministry, Block Talk Radio. Be blessed. Be blessed.